Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
This is the Boogie Monster with Dave and Kyle, and we use coasters. I think we probably got maybe... Well, unless this winds up being the first one, what you looking around about?
Well, I just realized I just gave you my coaster, but now, now we got the same problem. But I'm on honestly, my end of the
you
table.
Know what? It's more OCD of each drink having a coaster than I care about this $50 IKEA.
All right.
Table.
Well, if you don't care, I don't care. It's your furniture.
Yeah. You know, you try and keep it nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like you try, like it's like shit. It's just IKEA furniture, but it's like, well, I bought it because it's going to fit in this part of the house. Like. Try and keep your things nice when you didn't have a lot of nice stuff.
Is this the table you got mad at yourself trying to build and you took a nap to Cheers reruns?
All of it. Everything I've gotten from IKEA, I've gotten pissed off at. The TV stand, I fucked up and I nailed the back of it to the front of it and had to drive all the way back to IKEA.
Oh, man.
Which is a more like, oh, yeah, this is like broken or something. There's just nail holes. Like, obviously, and I just nailed through the wrong pieces.
Oh, man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. Let's see.
Good week?
Yeah, I was in British Columbia.
Ooh.
And I was in the heart of Bigfoot country.
Nice.
Saw some bears, but
saw
didn't
bears?
See any Bigfoot.
You sure they were bears?
Pretty sure they were bears.
Oh, okay.
On all fours, uh-huh. Big brother guys, and not trying to hide.
Just so what do you mean you saw bears? You just...
Oh, I was on a ski lift.
Oh, okay.
I was mountain biking because I'm a pretty rad dude. I'm a shredder. And... people don't know that about me. I'm a pretty extreme guy.
I always tell people that. I was like, yeah, he's a pretty good comedian, but really, he's just rad.
Once Red Bull
gets
wind of what I'm doing, I would guess a free hat. But at the very least, you want me to wear that free hat around, let people know, yeah, I'm a pretty rad dude.
So what were you in Vancouver for?
I did I was doing a Pemberton Music Festival. Very fun. The only band I saw, at least... Watch bands Saturday. I saw Mastodon. I saw Ice Cube.
Nice. I love Mastodon.
So many white women flash their boobs at Ice Cube during Fuck the Police.
Was his performance good?
I've never
been to a rap concert.
I was, it's not my go-to music.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, I don't know how it sounds like. If I listen to it in a car, I feel... Like, even if it's stuff I like, I feel like I'm trying too hard. Like, is it – I don't want this to come out sounding bad. It's not like – it's not the music. I'm like, oh, man, I must look like a total dork listening to this.
Yeah,
like,
I get
it. I'm trying – like – and it's just – it's self-involved. It's worrying about, you know, who gives a shit how you look to strangers. But I don't want to listen to – loud rap music that has the N-word and be okay. Like, I'm a white guy listening to it.
Yeah, with the windows down.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like I look like an idiot. Not because of the music, but because I'm like, yeah.
It's a real goober move.
Yeah.
Just see the...
Or loud music, because I got nothing on the Jeep, so all music is loud music, because it has to be loud to hear it with all the doors and the roof off the Jeep, but then it's super loud when I pull up, like... Anybody listening to loud music looks like an asshole.
Exactly. And rarely do I see anyone in a car listening to very loud music that's worth a damn. It's always just horrible nonsense.
How often do you look back and realize, like, when you were, like, even in my 20s, like, no, I'm going to keep the radio on at the gas station.
Yeah.
Everybody loves NoFX at this.
Ugh. It's just that Arco station. It's so narcissistic of like, hey, everybody, this space belongs to me.
This is a constant struggle that I have, is that I'm 39, you're 38, and we as comics exist in a world that's still propagated by 22 and 23-year-olds. Like, I'm still out at night at bars, I'm still hanging out, like, and I want to get mad at some of the behavior I see. I'm like, no, wait, I'm the one who's too old to be there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're 23, like, yeah, let's keep the radio on. If you're 17, keep the radio on at the gas station. That's... Of course, I'm gonna go, look at this fucking idiot. Like, no, I was that exact same person, and I have to keep myself in check so often.
Yeah, I get it. I do have a theory though that the louder you are, the dumber you are.
Man, I'm real loud.
Anybody just making a bunch of noise in public's probably an idiot.
Said as the Republican National Convention is happening right now. I don't even get into the politics.
Yeah, who cares?
I did something else. Did we? I don't know if we talked about the IQ tests before. We did, I think.
Yeah, I think we touched on that, and you got really mad.
Yeah, because I got it. And then ever since I took that IQ test, I've only been noticing how dumb things are that I do.
Oh yeah,
like just dumb.
Like what?
Like just leaving my keys in my car in the ignition.
In the ignition.
You know, and so now everything's highlighted. Like, yeah, because the test proved it. Dumb because of that test.
Ever since I took my test, I've noticed how annoyed I am that everybody around me is not as smart as I am.
Yeah, well, hey, let me tell you something, Dave.
It's by Cross the Bear.
Fucking, oh, God damn that test.
Nah.
I'll take it with more focus, but in enough times where I don't remember the answers. Which, being a dummy, it means right now. But I'll do it again.
No, I'm always consider myself a dummy, but I think I have functional intelligence. Like I'm not incredibly book smart.
Simpler folks would call that common sense, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I have intelligence that day to day that helps me out, helps me navigate this crazy world.
I know where I live.
Yeah.
I know how to drive a car, work my telephone.
I can spell my name. I can write it sometimes.
What's been up with you? What'd you eat?
Oh, man. Had a couple good chicken experiences this week.
A couple good chicken experiences.
Yeah. It's been a good chicken week.
Here on the Boogie Monster.
Yeah. Do you remember a couple months ago you were on tour and you were going through Memphis? And anytime my buddies are on tour, I feel obligated, unsolicited. I will reach out and say, hey, man, you got to eat at this place if you're in this town.
That's appreciated.
Yeah, well, I feel like some people gets on their nerves, but it's like, hey, it's my duty.
Who would be bothered by a nice tip in a city, in a strange land?
I just feel like sometimes it goes unappreciated, but not with you. You were in Memphis, and I told you, you didn't get a chance to go by there, but I was telling you about Gus's famous fried chicken.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't want to say the best, but one of the best meals of fried chicken I've ever had. The original branches, they got two of them in Memphis. But every time I'm in Memphis, I check that place out. Well, now they just opened one in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, hot spot now.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Went by there earlier this week, had the three-piece dark. It's spicy.
Give me what makes fried chicken good? Because fried chicken to me is like... Mm-hmm. You can give me cold Popeyes, and I'd be like, fried chicken as a flavor in general is just pleasing.
Yeah, yeah. Even bad fried chicken is still pretty good. Well, good fried chicken, it all starts with the chicken. You want to get, like, you want to go to a place that uses good chicken. And I don't know all the details as far as, like, you know, what they're fed and the organic, but, like, some of the stuff you get, like if you go to like the grocery store and the deli and they're frying it up, a lot of that stuff's pretty low quality as far as the chicken itself.
I gotta say though, that was a treat when I first moved to LA, as Albertsons would have like
eight pieces for $5.
Yeah, they would have that, and you can get a little potato salad and just having like a fried chicken fried after a shitty week, and you're making like minimum wage. Like, I'm getting that chicken special.
Yeah, there's something about like when you go to the store and you buy an 8-piece or a 12-piece, like it feels like an investment. It's like, this is a major purchase. Or a
big greasy bag.
Yeah, this is going to sustain me for several days. Well, most people, but me, not. But anyway, it all starts with just using good quality chicken, which Gus's do. But then when it comes to fried chicken, it's all about how they batter it or flour it. The flour, the batter, whatever. You got to season the flour. You got to season the dry ingredients beforehand. Crappy fried chicken is just... They had the flour, the cornmeal, whatever the mixture is, that goes unseasoned. And because once you fry it and it comes out of the fryer, you can't season it because it's just going to fall off.
It's going to dust off.
Yeah, it's got...
What do you got chicken. Mm-hmm. What do you do, put in milk? What's your method?
Well, when I make fried chicken, I'll soak it in buttermilk for like overnight. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have a flour mixture, maybe two parts flour to one part cornmeal. And then I'll season that up really good with like some, obviously, salt, pepper, smoked paprika, maybe a little cayenne, whatever.
You ever get nuts? You ever throw a little cinnamon on there?
I've never done any cinnamon.
What about some coffee?
I do coffee on my smoked brisket.
Okay. I got no knowledge. Yeah, I'm just throwing out powdered things.
No, that's good. Coffee. I use coffee on my brisket.
What about some Ovaltine?
Never used Ovaltine.
Dang.
But long story short, it's just how you season the flour.
You shut me down real good. Anyway, old dum-dum trying to talk about cooking. Will you ever put tang in your chicken batter, Dave?
But Gus's was solid, and the sides were incredible. It had really good homemade mac and cheese. We had fried okra. We had fried green tomatoes.
Can I get this joke in there? You know, you know what would happen if you put tang in your in the fried chicken batter?
Something about the moon?
It would make it out of this world.
Ah, there we go.
Don't forget, this is a comedy podcast.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's great.
So I highly recommend Gus's.
Gus's fried.
So good. And if that wasn't enough, I found another place in Los Angeles. And I apologize for the people listening to this outside of LA, but bear with me. This is where I live. This is where I eat.
Honestly, if we are going to have to apologize to listeners about the fact that this is allegedly a podcast about the paranormal and scary stories, and every episode we've recorded so far has just been a half hour of talking about food, and then we meandered. But that's the goal. The Boogie Monster is anything we want it to be, and God forbid we find – I hope like maybe a half dozen people where all the topics we hit are their interests. That's fine. That's fine. Like six people were like, well, I do believe in UFOs, but I'm also constantly looking for fried chicken in the greater Los Angeles area. Finally, a podcast that speaks to my incredibly specific needs.
You said it best. You said it best in one of your live shows. You were doing a set somewhere, and I was watching, and you said, I'm willing to lose most of you to gain a few of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that makes great sense. So that's kind of what we're doing
here. It's when you see a comic and they make a joke that's so specific that not a lot of the audience knows it, but then the ones who do know it are like, oh, fucking like what Comic-Con it what? Like, oh, but we're nerds, but comics, there's a little convention for us.
Yeah.
And now it's this huge thing. That's what's going to happen with us.
Yeah.
The comedy fan fried food paranormal crossover audience.
Oh, man, I'm tailor-made for this. This is great. Anyway, real quick, my second chicken experience.
Oh, yeah, we got two chickens.
And I've been wanting to go to this place for a while.
Dos Pollos.
My buddy Dave Clock, who's a fantastic artist.
Almost all the Meltdown posters.
All the Meltdown stuff, does our artwork.
Yeah.
And great dude, great artist. He lives near a place, and he was like, hey, you ever heard of this place? There's a place near me, and it's a yellow building, and it just says fried chicken. And I was like, no, I haven't, but you've piqued my interest. So I did a little research.
Yellow building. It says fried chicken.
Yeah, it's a yellow brick building, and the sign just says fried chicken.
Interesting.
So it's a new bar called Crawford's, kind of a dive bar. It's kind of a hip bar that's supposed to look like a dive bar, but hey, whatever. You know, do your thing. But it's a bar that serves fried chicken. No other food on the menu. Like, no, they have, you can get a side of baked beans, coleslaw, and then they have this crazy good French onion dip with some Ruffles potato chips. But the whole point is the fried chicken. So, dive bar with like really cheap, good, cold domestic beer, and then you get an order of chicken. It's like $8. You get three pieces and a side for $8. Excellent. Crawford's in LA. It's Rampart at Beverly.
What I know about Crawford's, I haven't been there yet, but Matt Bronger, good friend, hilarious comedian, went there. I get a text like, hey, remember that kind of spazzed out guy we used to do comedy with back at the Derby? Like right when Bronger and I moved to LA at the same time, 2003.
Uh-huh.
And that's back when the Derby, which is now a Chase Bank. But for more specific LA folklore, like in Swingers was shot all through Los Feliz in that area, but the end scene where he's dancing with Heather Graham, that's in the Derby, which was the Brown Derby moved,
which was where
it's at Hillhurst and Los Feliz Boulevard.
Okay.
You know where it is? Right by China Palace and everything.
Gotcha.
And they were going to tear the building down. They preserved it because it was one of the only wooden domed buildings. But it's a Chase Bank. And I go in there like, oh, man, I did so many drugs in this Chase Bank back in the day. But a guy that ran a show there, and he's a super fun dude. He's like, I'm like, oh, Matt Dittman? And he's like, yeah, that's the guy. He's like, yeah, he owns Crawford's Chicken. And I it was weird because I just didn't know what happened to that guy. I drove by a bar he used to work at in Burbank. I'm like, I wonder what happened. Like, yeah, I've been here for 13 years. Like, I wonder what happened to some of those guys I used to hang out with back in the day. And he's apparently one of the guys that runs that bar. Like, could not be happier because he was the sweetest dude. And he was just a fun, funny guy that we'd hang out with and drink and do shows with. And I just didn't know what happened to him after a while.
Wow.
And it turns out he's still here. And he's got a fried chicken bar.
Good for him.
So well, I got to go say hello to him and have some of that chicken.
Talk about a plan B.
Yeah.
If my career doesn't pick up, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
I think his plan B is getting more is getting more hot gossip than anybody's plan A in this town. So,
man, what a great idea. A bar that sells chicken.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, yeah, highly recommend Crawford's. Highly recommend Gus's. Gus's probably has about 10 or 12 locations all over the country. Started in Memphis, but I think there's some in Arkansas, Oklahoma, but there's one in L.A. right now.
If you fry chicken in the oil and then you don't clean that oil and you keep frying chicken in it, does it become like super flavorful or does it get shittier? If it's just chicken.
If it's just chicken, that's a great question.
Like what, you know, because you're kind of it's like it's the opposite of distilling.
Mm-hmm.
It's which I guess would be infusing. You're infusing fried chicken with more fried chicken flavor. So essentially, you can create like the omega chicken, like just the. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just I'm not the chef of the two of us, Dave. I'm the one saying rub some tang on it and then fry it until it's fried. You know, just infinity loop that fryer. Just Mobius strip a piece of chicken.
Oh, man.
Can you double fry something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
What do you double fry?
A really good French fry is double fried.
Who does double fried French fries?
Outback Steakhouse. I used to work there. Really good French fry.
I got no problem with Outback, except they sound like they're making fun of Australian people. Like, even as an American, and you listen to their ads, like, you're making fun of Australian people. And also, Outback Steakhouse sounds like a name for a butt that you're eating. Got right up in her Outback Steakhouse.
Did I ever tell you the time I had an Australian dude in my van when I was lifting? And he was visiting from Australia, and he goes, we're just making small talk. And I was like, how you like your stay here in L.A.? And he goes, oh, man, it's been great. Hey, real quick, you ever eat at Wendy's? And I go, yeah, man. Yeah, I eat at Wendy's all the time. He goes, oh, my God, I went there yesterday. Massive hamburger.
I fucking love Wendy.
Massive hamburger. And then he followed up with loads of flavor. And I almost wrecked the van. I was laughing so hard. This dude was so excited about Wendy's.
What? And you know what? You know what I think it is? I think it's like some weird – like if you travel outside of America, redheads take so much shit.
Yeah, really?
I feel like it's this weird pent-up like racism that they can't unleash – socially, so it all gets put on in redheads. Like, no, I have no problem with anybody of any other red. These fucking gingers, and people go ape shit on gingers in Australia and England. Like, look at the fucking ginger. Like here, like I, unless I'm missing it, like maybe I get teased a little bit, but then all right, yeah, red haired guy, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. You know?
And so maybe he was so surprised. Like maybe he was like, I'm gonna be open minded.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat at the Redhead's restaurant today. I'm really going to try some different people's type of food. And it turns out they do know what they're doing over there.
Oh, man.
My sister won't eat it. She won't eat square burgers.
What?
Nothing to do with the flavor. Just a weird.
Wendy's, one of the best fast food burgers on the market.
You don't have to look at me.
Love Wendy's.
Like, I share the same views, but square burgers freaks her out. I don't know.
That's weird.
Wendy's and White Castle.
Hmm. I do like White Castle too.
I don't like it. But it's not like. Would you eat White Castle in the middle of the day?
Sure.
Really?
Sure. Oh yeah. Where I'm from in Georgia, we didn't have White Castle. We had Crystal. Basically the same thing, but Crystal was good, man. I think it's subconscious too. I think I like a high volume hamburger. I like a hamburger I can eat 10 of.
Is that all right? Well, cause, yeah. Okay. So, how many do you eat? Like daytime, how many would you eat?
If I don't, if I'm not, if I'm just being
a crave case, a whole crave case.
Nah, if I'm just, if I don't care about my diet that day, I'll order six, six with cheese.
Really? That's your go nuts is six?
Yeah, get the old HD, the old half dozen.
I was, I remember coming back from a wedding drunk. Where my mom was, I was drunk. I think my dad was drunk, and my mom was driving. And we're in White Castle. And my dad's not like an outwardly funny guy. He's funny because just some of the stuff that he does doesn't intend. Like, I think he's, I'm sure he's not, but I thought he started smoking pot again because my mom was just rambling in the car one day.
What do you mean again?
I don't know what I could say here.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to
incriminate. I think he used to grow pot in the basement.
What?
It was years ago.
Your dad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. He was a fun dude. He's still, but, so, he, like, one day he's looking out the window of the car. My mom's just talking about something forever. And just out of nowhere, he's like, look at the sky. It's like the Simpsons. You know the beginning of the Simpsons? It's a Simpsons sky. And I was like, where is this coming from? You've been zoned out. And my mom's like, what the hell are you talking about? But we pulled in to a White Castle, just leaving this wedding drunk. And just my dad was like, I want this, and I want cheeseburger. I want two cheeseburgers. And mom's like, anything else? And another cheeseburger. Like he just fletched his order. But a cheeseburger and a cheeseburger. Anything else? And another cheeseburger. But just not being funny, just like, yeah, I need more of those. But ordered three cheeseburgers individually by name.
That's awesome.
I would get – I can't stop at six.
Really?
I would get, I think, eight minimum. I don't know if I'd finish them. Mm-hmm. Is there anywhere where White Castles or Crystals isn't that people don't understand that they're about the size of a
– well, here,
like 2x2? They're like
– in L.A.?
There's White Castles.
Where? I haven't seen one.
They're around.
Like up in the valley? I haven't
think
seen
more
one.
South. I think more towards Long Beach.
Really?
But you remember Crave Case?
No.
I think it was like two dozen, and it was a cardboard briefcase.
Wow.
Yeah, you get straight up briefcase full of sliders.
Oh man, that's White Castle.
Yeah.
I would have noticed that at Crystal.
Yeah, yeah. You get a Crave Case slider, a case of sliders, a little cardboard briefcase. Show up to a party. Man,
that's a good Friday night.
Man, they had what'd they have now? They got little chicken waffle guys.
Where?
White Castle.
Chicken waffle?
Yeah. They got a little chicken waffle sandwich, a little piece of chicken between two little waffles.
Wow.
Everything they make has to fit in those containers.
Yeah.
So they're just like, all right, fucking, can we cram this in there? Mm-hmm. It fits, but make it.
Yeah.
Steamed hamburgers.
Yeah.
That's off-putting, though.
No, that's the thing, though.
To
the
say
bun.
It.
Yeah, yeah. But the bun gets steamy, and then I can't speak for White Castle. I've obviously had White Castle, but I don't know it as well as I know Crystal. But there's something – this sounds gross.
Say it like a woman's name. I don't know it as well as I know Crystal.
Oh, Crystal. Yeah. There's something about a Crystal burger where that steamed bun meets the meat – and then it makes this – it doesn't sound good, but it is – it creates this
–
it creates this gray goop. There's like this gray film.
Okay, I knew what you were about to say, and it still – it doesn't sound good even though I know what you're talking about.
But it
about.
Is good. It's – there's this little thin layer of gray goop between the bun and the meat, and oh boy.
That's – you good. Just – you're we're going to get sued by Crystals now. This, you're endorsing them, and they're going to be like – please don't speak highly of us ever again. As a matter of fact, don't ever talk.
I'm Dave Stone for Crystal. I know it looks like shit, but trust me, they're tasty.
Listen, man, if you just close your eyes and have an experience.
I like that gray goop, dude.
It's like – I get the jalapeno cheese, but it's steamed meat. And then the inside of a White Castle, everything's just hoseable. It's like a psych ward. It's like a psych ward. The whole inside of that restaurant
like
could just be
cell.
Hosed off.
Just
yeah,
there's a drain that the floor kind of yeah, angles downward.
Yeah, it's angled. So you know you're in a shitty restaurant if you spill your drink and you don't all go the same direction towards the drain.
That's funny.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Speaking of psych wards, well, that's not a good tie-in at all. Well, we're going to talk about Men in Black for this episode.
Men in Black.
But maybe some people are crazy that are seeing them. Ha ha. There it is.
There's your segue. I love the Men in Black. Do you know who the Men in Black are?
Well, my familiarity is that there, and from our previous discussions, that they show up to investigate people that may have witnessed UFO sightings.
Yes.
We've been... How are we hearing a fucking train siren right now?
Yeah, we're not close to a train track.
With just the very mention of Men in Black, and now they're starting to... It's
by the way, they say anybody, and we'll get to this later, but they say anybody who speaks openly about the Men in Black, whether it be like in a news interview, newspaper, whatever, yeah, that they're usually visited by them. I pray to God that this episode gets,
if you want it, it'll never happen. If you're looking for it, it won't get it. It's like love, Dave. Mm. It's like love. When you least expect it.
I don't believe in love.
What would happen if you're like talking to a girl that you're just clicking with and you're like, I think this might be the one, and then the Men in Black show up to question you? Not now, you fucking eyebrowless Blues Brothers. I gotta this girl's passing the whatever test from that movie from Brooklyn.
Bronx Tale.
Yeah, there we go. Man,
she reached over and opened my door.
Spizzling out on that one.
I knew exactly.
She reaches over to lock your door while you're in the car because the Men in Black are coming. Double down on that lady or fella in your life, listeners. She doubles down to lock the car because the Men in Black are coming. That's,
oh man. Well, most people have heard of the term Men in Black because of the movies.
Yeah.
In which I don't know if I've ever seen those movies. I'm aware of them. I've walked in the room when it's been on or whatever, but yeah. Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones, what did they make, two or three of those? they made at least two.
I don't know. Did the popularity of people seeing them in real life happen before or after this movie? I mean, a lot. What we were looking on YouTube was after.
Yeah.
But did the idea of them even exist before those movies?
Yes. The idea started in the 50s, and maybe even the late 40s. All right. Let's get into it. All right. The Men in Black are not the guys in the movies that – I don't even know what their agenda was. They were policing aliens or doing something.
Yeah, like aliens lived among the human race and
so
monitor them.
In the – I guess if you can call it reality – the reality of the Men in Black is a lot of people think they are a secret government agency. Secret meaning that the government will – there has been proven secret government agencies. For example, the Delta Force.
Yeah.
Delta Force is an elite military unit, much like the Navy SEALs or the Green Berets that go in, and they're just the baddest of the badasses.
Yeah.
But in like – there's been evidence that the Delta Force exists, but if you ask the government, they'd be like, what are you talking about? We don't know.
Your theories are based around action movies.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of people think the Men in Black are a secret government agency, although not official, whose job it is to anybody who researches UFOs or people who have witnessed UFOs, their job is to visit those people and silence them, whether it be through verbal intimidation or whatever the case may be. It seems that their whole function is to shut people up who are talking about UFOs that they have seen.
So it's almost like how Scientology, they send people out. If anybody speaks out against Scientology, they have a team of people that intimidate them.
Mm-hmm. And Men in Black, meaning apparently they all fit the same description. They're white males. They wear it basically look like Reservoir Dogs, just wearing traditional
Reservoir Dogs,
black suits,
ska
black ties.
Fans, yes. Blues Brothers. It's all
Blues Brothers. So that's their purpose. The Men in Black, if they are to be real, if you are to believe them, their purpose is to silence people who are yakking about UFOs. Now, that being said, there are two schools of thought on who the Men in Black are. Like I said, some people think the Men in Black are human men who work for a secret government agency. Other people think that they might be aliens who are disguising themselves as government agents.
Yeah.
And 80% of the eyewitness accounts, I pulled that figure right out of my ass the internet.
This is a very scientific, factual podcast.
But allegedly,
speculation here.
About 80% of the eyewitness accounts fall under that category of non-human, humanoid-like. Meaning, so many accounts, people will talk about, well, this guy visited me, and he was intimidating me, and he was telling me to shut up about this or that or the other, but he didn't seem real. A lot of people say that they have incredibly pale skin, incredibly smooth skin. Mm-hmm. Their face is hairless, zero facial hair, zero eyebrows. If they have head on their hair, some people have reported that it looks like a wig. They always, most of them wear like a fedora, the old Blues Brother fedora.
That's my problem with them being human, if they are. Like, why would you send out a bunch of fucking rude boys if it's a military group that's that makes it sensational.
Uh-huh.
Like, if they're aliens and they just watched one movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just got one specials album and they're like, well, everybody looks like this.
Yeah.
So let's...
Yeah, but also, why would a human dress that way and present themselves that way?
Why would a military group be obvious?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless it goes deep into disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you believe these guys? And I'm feeding into it because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm wind up being a skeptic out of the two of us. But mostly just because if we both just sit here and agree, that's a boring podcast. Mm-hmm. But like that, if it's human, like, yeah, why would they both like, oh, yeah, we're both here to dissuade people from pursuing this subject even more, so we're going to dress in Halloween costumes and go out and talk to somebody. If anything, that just feeds somebody who did see something. And I saw these guys in two suits, and I'm the one going, yeah, that's why I don't believe them.
Yeah.
So I could be part of the very thing they wish to have,
mm-hmm.
if it's human. If it is aliens, I want, like, why... I always stop up on the alien thing, the aliens being here, where they had enough technology and this and that to get here, to research, to travel, and then they still went to fucking Men's Warehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, what's the cheapest thing? Like, they walked in there with their nude alopecia bodies. Like, what's the cheapest thing you got on the rack?
Yeah.
And then they walked out like, all right, let's shut these people up.
I agree. It doesn't make sense that you have that much advanced technology, but yet you look so odd. And because all these reports, there's just hundreds of eyewitness accounts of people saying they just didn't look human. They didn't have eyebrows. They had weird skin. You could tell they were wearing a wig under their hat. If you've got the technology to travel thousands of light years to come visit
us. Get some good plugs.
Do a little more research. But yet that is the case. So many people report those characteristics. You know, weird skin, huge eyes. There's one account in particular that you and I were watching on YouTube. By the way, if you want to YouTube some interesting stuff, YouTube, The Real Men in Black Caught on Tape. There's a story. I think it was maybe 05 or 08, somewhere around there, and around Niagara Falls. I don't know if it was the American side or the Canadian side, but there's a hotel. The manager at the hotel the week before had seen a UFO, and he apparently was talking to a local reporter, or whether it be newspaper or television or whatever. Anyway, one day he wasn't – it was his off day. He wasn't working, but one day two weird dudes showed up at his hotel. And they were asking for this guy.
Yeah.
And the bellhop and some of the other people that worked there were just freaked out. They were like, "Who? What? No, he's not here." And they were asking. They were talking about conspiracies and governments and blah, blah, blah. And there's surveillance video footage of these two weird dudes walking in to this thing. And it's so fascinating. I mean, of course, any of this stuff on the internet could be a hoax. But like, these two dudes were like really tall. They were identical looking. Granted, it's not crystal clear footage.
Yeah.
It's surveillance camera footage. But my point is, one of the employees' eyewitness accounts, everything I talked about with the weird skin and the weird eyes and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things they said is they didn't blink. He said these guys, they talked to him for like 10 minutes. They didn't blink. And they seemed to be fascinated by mundane objects. They were talking about a pen. Somebody had a pen and they grabbed the pen and they were just fascinated by it and looking at it the same way like a baby would look at a pen. Like, what is this thing?
Are all these reports from America? From the United States?
Most of them, yeah. There, although there are reports from Europe.
But from other places where black suit, white shirt, tie and a hat wouldn't look off-putting.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, so if people saw UFOs in China, is it still the same outfit?
Good question. I don't know about China. There have been – there's one case in particular.
Reports
from
of weird-looking people wearing different, more – I forget the word I'm looking for. Local clothing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. You know? Like if some – whatever the local garb is.
And more indigenous clothing. Yeah.
That I don't know. I've done some research on this. There's a couple stories out of Scotland with the same descriptions. Other than that, I don't know about other countries and other places. But there are dozens and dozens of stories. The first story that people that they think the origin story of the first time we ever heard of the term wasn't coined Men in Black, but the first time it was made public that like weird government type people were investigating people about UFOs was in 1947. There's a guy named Harold Dahl. And he was in the Puget Sound in Washington. He saw, he apparently saw six UFOs. He was out on the water, saw six UFOs. One of them like kind of crashed and like some metal debris fell out into the water, killed his dog apparently, injured his son. He talks about it, tells somebody about it. Like a week later, he gets visited by these weird guys in black suits. That was the first known report of a weird man in black.
Men in Black come along with the idea of aliens and extraterrestrials and UFOs. I'm basically announcing what we need to do for future episodes, but I would love to know about UFO sightings and the history of them outside of America because so many
That's
of them
a great point.
So many of them are well, it happened and it all started in the USA in the 40s and 50s, and it's when America, like we poked the sky.
Yeah.
With missiles and all that stuff, and then the sky poked back.
And even before that, like Orson Welles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so the idea, like, as soon as just the concept of human beings, traveling into space, then that ignited it. And I want to know, like, is this just a mass case of human imagination being stoked by the reality of space travel and rocket ships and things like that? Can we go back before that and find it? You know, when they talk about how there's evidence of Egyptians, you know, interacting.
The hieroglyphics.
Yeah, hieroglyphics showing that there's clearly, you know, the evidence that, not clearly, I can't say that confidently, but that's what I want to know about. It's either Egyptians or it's USA from the 40s and 50s. Give me something where in between a language from, and I'm dumb, so I don't know how long ago, you know, the pyramids and that alleged interaction where we're looking at symbol. Who knows what the fuck they had back then that we think looks like an alien and their little emojis, you know, their cave emojis. Oh, see, clearly they saw aliens.
Yeah.
Where is it? You know, give me some Knights of the Round Table alien experiences. Uh-huh. Give me some Christopher Columbus. What did he see?
Yeah.
Give me some other more diverse other parts of history that I'm not familiar with. But I mean, how much of it do you hear, you know, in Asian cultures? I mean, I know South America and, you know, more of those older civilizations have, there's loose connections to some sort of alien activity. But all of this comes from when America entered into space travel, which I'm not negating that it can happen, but it could be like, oh, shit, they figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, aliens would be like, we've been watching you guys for a while. We did not think that you were going to get this far into this.
Yeah.
You know, parents watching the kids like, uh-oh, they got our internet password. We got it. Okay. All right. Sit down. Listen.
Well, one question I had in the context of the Men in Black is what's their motivation? Like, obviously, I mean, I just explained that, you know, they're trying to shut people up. But why? What do you care? What do you care if I saw a UFO and I'm talking about it? You know? Why would the government care? Why would an alien care?
That's why I think it's more disinformation. Well, to pin it on to current times, Hillary Clinton's supposed to unleash some or just let, like, free up the files on UFOs. She made some passing comment.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, she's like going to be the first acknowledge, like, or just like let go of the files, like open up the files on. I don't know if she's entertaining somebody on a talk show or something, but every ridiculous podcast and stuff, I was like, Hillary's going to tell us about the aliens. But then all those podcasts are also very right wing and stuff, so that it's. It's gross. But I guess, I don't know, man. This one doesn't. I'm having a hard time getting behind this one because I want more evidence. I have no doubt that aliens and extraterrestrial and some sort of life form exists and that they have probably come down here and visited. But there's so much. So many convoluted stories that came about just from the 50s, like in 40s and 50s, when America's, most specifically America, everything started developing militarily, developing missiles, you know, nuclear missiles and all this stuff. We started shooting all this stuff into the sky. And as it got, like, shoot it, we need missiles, we got to shoot all this stuff. And people saw that, and now it's all these weird guys. And maybe so. Maybe that's what it is. Hey, okay, you're on Men in Black duty. Maybe it's a military prank. Somebody saw a UFO. Shave your eyebrows. Go weird these people out. Put on the suits. And they're just getting hazed into some sort of, you know, maybe that's how you get hazed into the Navy SEALs or something. Like your final test. What are you going to do? I got to crawl under barbed wire again? No, no, no. You got to go talk to somebody who thinks they. Remember how we shot that missile off? We tested that missile? Somebody thinks it's a UFO. So put on a goofy suit and go talk to them.
You know? Well, okay, earlier you were saying, like, and I get the point of none of this started being talked about until we started exploring space and, you know, all that. But, okay, the other side of that logic is, well, yeah, maybe that's why some of this stuff started, you know, more UFO sightings, Men in Black sightings, because prior to that, there was no need to shut anybody up because we weren't in space. We weren't exploring. We weren't doing anything. But now it's like the aliens, from their point of view, it's like, oh, they're coming our way. They're on to us. Their technology is advancing. We better step up our game and, you know, visit them and shut them up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's also how I look at, like, stories from then, too. Also, like, a story from the 50s that's been retold and retold. Like, everything now – I know this sounds terrible – but everything before the internet, in a great way, is also you can watch a video and you can watch or you can read 20 eyewitness accounts and corroborate the facts between those 20 eyewitnesses of what's happening. So now anything before that, it's like the Bible. It's like, oh, it's just been told over and over and it's told to fit any storyline you want it to. If the government tells a story, it's so clear that it was a weather balloon. If the farmer tells a story, it's so obvious that it was an alien. And looking back, like, you have nothing to corroborate. Like, no, it was just up to the whim, the imagination of a new technology happening and the government wanting to keep it secret and it accidentally falling into the lives of regular civilians and those stories being told over and over again. But I want to believe in it, but I can't. I have to be skeptical first.
Okay.
You know?
No, I get it. Well, speaking of the government and their acknowledgement of it, in 1967, there was a colonel in the Air Force. This guy's name was George P. Freeman, and he made a statement. He was being interviewed by an author.
P. Freeman.
Yeah, George P. Freeman.
Sorry.
He was a colonel in the United States Air Force. And in 1967, he was being interviewed by some author. This guy had written, I forgot the guy's name, but he wrote the book about the Mothman, the Mothman Prophecies, the author of that book.
Jeff Mothman.
Jeff Mothman. Anyway, this guy, Colonel Freeman of the United States Air Force, free whiskey at Kyle's house. He said, He acknowledged that there were, in fact, several reports of mysterious men dressed in Air Force uniforms bearing impressive credentials from government agencies that were contacting and silencing UFO witnesses. And then he quoted, "By posing as Air Force officers, they are committing a federal offense. We sure would like to catch one." So he was acknowledging, yeah, there's reports of guys posing as agents, but we don't know who they are, and they're fraudulent, so F those guys.
So posing, so possibly some division of the military posing as a different division, posing as Air Force agents.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And this is a high-ranking official in the Air Force going, no, we don't know about those guys. So that lends more towards the these guys might be aliens theory.
Just to add to, like, I clearly believe things are covered up. Like, I'm not totally like, nope, the government's truthful and all this. I did a show in Texas, and one of the guys driving me to the show was an ex-Navy guy, and his job was, I don't know, whatever it was, an information, like, getting rid of information. So, yeah, all the stuff that you think might, yeah, it's true. Like, oh, yeah, they shot down United 93.
Oh, really?
Like, he admitted? Like, yeah, like, that's, like, it's all, like, yeah, that's not something they want to admit. And even if they admitted it, Would Americans disagree with the fact that, like, well, do we shoot down this plane with X amount of people on it or watch it crash into a building and kill more people?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're looking at numbers-wise, you know, it's a great narrative, the let's roll and that. So that's from one guy. And who knows? Maybe he's just – you know what? There's – as much as I want to believe that, there's also people in the world that just know they can get away with lying by saying, yeah, I'm in the Navy, so I'm telling you the truth about this stuff. But I have no doubt that there's cover-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Routinely that there's cover-ups. That the but the men in black, it's just...
Well, it all goes back to...
It seems too romantic.
Well, and I say this about Bigfoot, like... There's so many eyewitnesses. Are they all wrong? Are they all lying? Are they all misidentifying? Like, a lot of them, yes. A lot of them are probably just full of shit. A lot of them are seeing things that they're not, you know, whatever. But all of them?
Do you believe in horoscopes?
I don't know. I don't know about that. It's a good question.
Because that's in the newspaper for people. That's how many people are entertained by that idea.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been into astrology and that type of stuff.
But just only devil's advocate here, which I hate. Devil's advocate is always something like, oh, you really believe in something? Well, go fuck yourself. You know what this conversation needs? A dickhead. I hate it. But for the fact that we're having a conversation right now, and I'm saying it to myself, too. I'm saying it to myself like, oh, well, I don't think horoscopes, I don't put any weight in that, but... If people are looking for it, now it's in the newspaper. People, and they read it, and then that, oh, your day is going to be this. And then they'll maybe fulfill it. Horoscopes, I don't think, well, now I don't know. I don't think they're negative ever, really. They might be a little bit ominous.
Uh-huh.
Although, I don't know, the missus started getting into tarot cards.
Oh, really?
And you know what it is? I think the thrill of when the tarot cards line up with how your life is going – just once, you're like, oh, like any other card game.
Yeah.
like poker lines up once, and you're like, full house, and I won $300. I'm always going to play poker.
Yeah.
Because that one time.
Yeah.
For me, it's the one time I drank just enough and smoked just enough weed, and it was in the backseat of a car driving from the city back to the suburb I lived in, and whatever song was on the radio, I was like, this is the best possible combination of all things in the world. And from 19 years old on, I've been like, well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're going to get it back, baby.
And chasing that friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that one moment. But I wonder if just the idea like Bigfoot and this and that, like, well, I'm somebody that's in the woods and I am kind of a person that, man, I really wish there was more. I really wish there was something mystical. Every time I'm in the forest, I know there's something else here because it's so big and I realize I'm so small. Same thing with aliens. Same thing, like ghosts, anything. I'm so small. Mm-hmm. There's so much unknown out there. I really wish I could just get a wink from the unknown.
Yeah.
I wish I could just get just a little bit of a, psst, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
And, oh, thank you, because that makes my life, like, it gives it so much more meaning.
Yeah.
Well, it's out there. For me, it's more ghosts. And not even in a, ooh, there's ghosts. Like, just in the fact that I think when the energy of the human, human being is extinguished on this plane, the electricity goes off and exists in a different plane. But that's how I feel like when you're saying, or are they all wrong? I think there's a lot of people, and it's a very X-Files type of, like, they want to believe. And mm-hmm.
I want to believe. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
You know.
Now I'm going back on my earlier advice of when you want to see it, you'll see it.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for it, you won't find it. But when you want to see it, you'll see it. Man, I'm a complicated dude, Dave. I'm a complicated dude.
Oh, man.
It sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but you really got to listen to the semantics.
You are a complicated dude.
We got to go get fried chicken after this.
Side note, speaking of ghosts, did you see the thing that came out this week? Just a couple of days ago, there was a viral video going around, and I'm sorry to bring it up when I don't know all the details, but something
That's
about...
That's all I do on this podcast.
I don't know where it was, but just a couple days ago, it was all over the internet. A guy died in a car or motorcycle accident.
End of story.
And somebody took a photograph of the scene, and you can see a human-shaped cloud, like ghost-like figure, drifting up from the motorcycle. And they're like,
really?
Is this someone's soul?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, look that up. I don't know what ghost motorcycle guy, whatever. But, like, there's a photograph, and it's
from
a distance.
I'm just going to wind up watching Ghost Rider
It's from a distance, but you can see there's a snapshot of maybe 10 feet above the ground from the motorcycle. There's, like, a ghostly-type spirit that's elevated in the air.
See, I don't – and that's the stuff that, like, I'm absolutely going to check that out. But that's even the stuff where I don't think – I think the reports of, you know, UFOs and stuff, like – we get informed by the idea that it might be circular or cigar-shaped objects.
Mm-hmm.
I was in San Francisco, and I freaked out because I thought I was legitimately seeing – I was on my buddy's roof. And I thought I was legitimately seeing UFOs. I'm like, oh, my God. They're in a pattern, and they're moving in the same direction in a very close-knit pattern. And I sat there staring at him with a friend who's not into this at all. He's like, I don't know what the fuck that is right now. Then we figured out it was Chinese lanterns. They're tied together far enough away where also I'm, you know, I can go on the computer. What if I see six things in a hexagonal shape, lights flying together? Be like, yeah, it's fucking Chinese lanterns. I can find that out right away. But if you have just in that specific situation, new immigrants to a city. Releasing – you laughed at your own belch? You just laughed at your own belch, Dave? No. That one tickled you inside and out, didn't it?
I'm still learning about my body.
Oh, God. What a horrible thing that you made me imagine. What a horrible – the idea – just the, that's the idea. Learning about my body. I just imagine just someone naked holding any version of human fluids in their hands.
Lick them and stick them, fellas.
Well, all right.
We're in the laboratory. Just making all these references to your comedy.
I do comedy. You do comedy,
That's
too.
That's a funny bit you did, by the way.
Yeah, I know how it goes, man.
Kyle sticks Twizzlers up his butt.
I never did that. I never put that mm-hmm. up my butt.
That. They weren't Twizzlers, idiot. They were Red Vines.
I'll try. All right. We'll get into that.
That's for another episode.
That's a different. I mean, it does go into the alien thing of them always wanting to look at your butthole.
I didn't mean to sidetrack you with my burp. What were you saying?
I don't know. Something about fucking Chinese.
All right. Let me tell you one more story. Let me tell you another story about Men in Black.
All right.
Dan Aykroyd. We all know Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, he's one of the Blues Brothers.
Funny dude.
The guy who dresses like the Men in Black saw the Men in Black. Or walk by a mirror.
He did. He saw the Men in Black. All right. 2005, Dan Aykroyd sells a television show to the Sci-Fi Network called, I think it was called Out There. And it was just one of these, you know, kind of science-based, you know, unscripted reality
called Buy My shows. Skull Vodka.
And it's all about UFOs and weird stuff. And it never saw the light of day because of this incident. All right. He's recording the show in Manhattan. He's on 42nd Street at I think 8th Avenue. And that's where the studios were that they were doing the show, whatever. This is 2005, I believe. They're recording the show. They take a break. He steps outside. He's outside on the sidewalk smoking a cigarette. And of all people, Britney Spears calls him. They are somehow friends because they're both celebrities. Britney Spears calls him about wanting to do something about – I think they were both supposed to appear on Saturday Night Live or something. Anyway, that's not really relevant that he was talking to Britney Spears. But the point is he's on the phone.
The story's already unbelievable.
Exactly. I get it. But this is his words. I'm not making this up.
Sure.
He's on the phone with Britney Spears. He's taking a break from his show about UFOs. And while he's on the phone
– How close was Dan Aykroyd to just being Randy Quaid? Like, how close?
I don't know the guy. I mean, you know, he seems to be doing better than Randy Quaid.
By how much?
Nut job. Anyway, this is his account.
All right.
He's on the phone, smoking a cigarette. He's outside. He's 42nd Street at 8th Avenue, right in the heart of, right near town, Times Square, Manhattan.
Oh, shit. Two guys in suits.
He's on the phone. Across the street, he notices a black Ford sedan. He didn't say what year. Like, I don't know if it was an old one or a new one, but kind of like an undercover cop car. Black Ford sedan. He's on the phone. He sees a really tall dude in a black suit and a black hat get out of the car. And apparently this tall, weird dude looks at Dan Aykroyd from across the street and gives him a real dirty look. And he's on the phone, and he's like, eh. And he just makes a mental note like, geez, who's that guy? He turns away. He's still on the phone. And his account is like 2 seconds later, he turns back, and that car is gone. So that's his encounter with the Men in Black. And when he got – 5 minutes later, when he finished his cigarette, finished talking to Britney, goes back inside, then he immediately gets the news from his producers or whomever like, oh, yeah, by the way, the show's canceled. We're not doing the show anymore. So he's convinced he saw a man in black.
I think he doesn't realize that people might be shocked at his current appearance.
But he tells this story, and he says, I saw this guy, tall dude, black suit, black hat, next to a black car, gives me a dirty look. He literally says he turns away for 2 seconds, turns back, and the car is gone.
No,
he said it vanished.
None of this.
You don't think so?
A guy in a suit in New York City. A guy giving a dirty look in New York City. A car that was there at 1 minute and then left in New York City.
2 seconds, he says.
Fucking no. Fucking no. No, no. And why even tell people it was Britney Spears you were talking to unless you needed the goddamn Google hits? Fucking no. I like Dan Aykroyd's work. I'm a fan of his, but like cold bullshit. Cold bullshit on
he
this.
He says the car just disappeared. He breaks down the logistics.
They drive away.
No, he
they
says
turn
there's no
corners.
Way. He says, no, the car was parked. And the guy was outside of the car. He says, and he breaks it down. He's like, there's no way the car could have gone this way or that way in that short amount of time and disappeared.
Oh, but he was talking to – Dan Aykroyd now was talking to Britney Spears in 2005. Did she lose her shit at that point? Was that bald-ass Britney Spears? And Dan Aykroyd's doing his nut job show about whatever. Like, oh, I'm going to talk to this bald loony. And you're not – oh, you're just like, oh, you know, I'm really distracted by a guy with a dirty look next to a car in New York City. Loony Britney Spears. In the thick of a breakdown, Britney Spears. I'm capturing with crystal clear detail what's going on around me. Horse shit on Dan Aykroyd. That was a Hail Mary pass to sell his. And that guy, God bless Dan Aykroyd for existing and all that he's contributed. But this, take a break, Dan.
Next week, I got a great story about Chevy Chase seeing a chupacabra. So we'll save that for next week.
See, it's all alliteration. Now you're just going with alliteration.
All right. That is the story. Let me tell you. All right. I'll try to speed through this. I know we're running out of time. Let me tell you another.
There is no time.
Apparently legit story.
The
all
boogie
right.
monster, dog. This shit goes until we get the answers we're happy with.
All right. There's a
whether
guy.
Whether the listeners agree or not.
There was a guy named Dr. Herbert Hopkins.
All alliteration. I think you're a Men in Black.
In 1976.
I don't think you're a Man in Black, except you keep wearing the same t-shirt with a huge hole in the armpit. They're better dressed individuals.
1976 in Maine. There's a guy named Dr. Herbert Hopkins. I don't know what he was a doctor of, but he was investigating in a UFO abduction case. Some guy got abducted by a UFO, and he was assisting in researching and investigating this thing. Anyway, one night he gets a phone call. All right, he's in Maine, gets a phone call from some dude who says he's with the New Jersey UFO Alliance or something. And, hey, Mr. Dr. Hopkins,
UFOA.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you about some of your research and findings. And he goes, sure, yeah, come on over. And as the story goes, as soon as he hangs up the phone, he went to go turn the porch light on because I guess he thought the guy was nearby. And the guy's immediately at his doorstep. All right. Now there's this weird Man in Black immediately. And this is 1976. This is pre-cell phone. So, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, do that math. Immediately, this guy just shows up, like, within seconds, shows up at his door. He lets him in. They talk for about 45 minutes about the case that he's researching. He says there's nothing too ominous. But, again, his description of this guy is incredibly bizarre. He talks about the smooth skin, no hair, no eyebrows, the suit, the hat, everything. Also, the guy he's talking to, the Man in Black, this is his report, clearly wearing some sort of red lipstick that's covering up just a slit, a little slit. He didn't have a mouth. He had like a little slit in his face that was surrounded by red lipstick. And he just talks about what a bizarre encounter that he had with this guy. And then the guy, when they leave, this is the crazy thing. This is the crazy thing.
Sucked his dick.
The meeting ended with the dude apparently started to speak really slow, and he said something like, running out of energy, must go now, goodbye. He said his speech slowed down, very robotic. He's like, running out of energy, must go now, goodbye. And he just walked off, and he left in the opposite direction from which he came. So he left, like he came one direction, left another, and then like after the fact, he's like, what the hell was that? Talks about just how bizarre this guy's appearance was, and at the end of the conversation, before the robotic battery meltdown, subtly intimidating him, telling him he needs to go ahead and destroy all the evidence and all the research. So that's one of the more notable encounters of Men in Black.
I want to see the link up between, you know, I would love to see when these stories and allegations come out between my conspiracy is that the government, it's government like Manchurian candidate MK Ultra shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did it correspond with mind control, LSD and all this stuff, giving unsuspecting people LSD and see what happens.
Yeah.
And then what they think they saw. And then that's the government. Oh, we didn't give anybody anything. That's the thing I would like to magically appear. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening and you know about these things, send us a link.
Yeah.
Because clearly you do research, Dave. I don't look up. I just come here and I...
I wouldn't call it research. It's
just... Well, you looked up stuff. I was just playing drums. Well, I'm happy with this one.
Yeah, this is one of the topics.
When we use real microphones, so it should sound better. And then we got into Men in Black. I still think... My theory is that possibly a government prank.
Government prank.
How many? I mean, you said there's hundreds of stories.
Hundreds.
I think it's you got to put the suit on, shave your eyebrow. I think it's a hazing move. Go fuck with somebody who thought they saw UFOs because the government knows when they shot a missile and that people are going to think it's UFOs. They take the nuttiest phone call and they send two new recruits out. Shave your eyebrows, dude. You're getting it.
Well,
and if you break or do anything, you're out. So it's a serious prank. Just a theory. I'm putting a theory out.
The whole point, my whole agenda with this episode is, like I said before, apparently anybody yakking about UFOs or Men in Black or whatever, most of them will receive a visit.
Well, hey, we're yakking.
Yeah. Hey, Men in Black, I'll give my address out. I don't care. Come see me. How awesome would that be? How awesome would that be if next week I come back and I go, Kyle,
What, you ain't gonna believe this.
What if you give your address out and they show up and you're not home, but Singer's home, and they walk out like, that guy's fucking weird.
Oh my God,
Ryan Singer, our friend Ryan who is in charge of me and Paranormal U.
Yeah, we were just on his podcast.
We were on his podcast.
Yeah, me and Paranormal U.
What if Singer's the one who finally weirds out the Men in Black?
Oh my God. Oh, can I tell you another quick story? What are the odds? I've got another Lyft Australian guy story. This happened.
There's a few of them.
This happened two days ago. I'm driving Lyft. Pick up this Australian dude. Not the Wendy's massive hamburger guy.
Massive flavor.
Loads of flavor. Another Australian guy. He initiates a conversation about stand-up comedy. I didn't initiate it. I didn't tell him I was a comic. Somehow he started talking about stand-up comedy. He knew who you were, by the way.
Well, I'm pretty famous, Dave.
He's a fan of Kyle Kinane.
Pretty famous, Dave. That's your barbecue name. Not just famous, Dave. You're pretty famous, Dave.
This guy starts talking about stand-up comedy. He's dropping a few names. He likes Maria Bamford. He likes Paul F. Tompkins. He mentioned you. Then I swear to God, unsolicited, the guy goes, you know, actually, the funniest bloke I've ever seen, I don't remember his name, but I saw him here in Los Angeles a couple months ago. I don't remember his name, but this bloke totally deconstructed his obsession with milkshakes. And I immediately was like, what the hell? And I said, did he have curly hair? He goes, yeah. I just happened to have Ryan's new CD right in my side pocket. I pulled it out. I was like, is it this guy? He goes, yeah. What are the odds that this dude, this stranger, would just start talking about Ryan Singer, my roommate? Well, and
Singer's getting his,
oh,
man.
My, good
He's
for
getting
him.
His.
Totally deconstructed his obsession with milkshakes.
The funniest part of that story is your Australian accent, by the way.
Loads of flavor.
We should do a live episode from Outback Steakhouse, and then you recount these stories, and nobody will care because nobody Australian is eating or working at an Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, my God. Speaking of stand-up comedy, we've got a new feature that we want to promote.
Plug somebody.
Each episode. We got Comic of the Week. You're a comedian. I'm a comedian. We're not necessarily talking about comedy, but what the hell. I'm such a fan of stand-up.
Boogie Monsters, whatever he wanted to be, man.
Such a fan of stand-ups, and of course, there's a ton of great ones, a ton of famous ones. But let's shine a light on some up-and-comers that, if you don't already know, you should go check out. Comic of the Week this week, Aparna Nancherla. I love Aparna. Do you know Aparna?
Aparna's been killing me for years.
She's so funny. Nancherla. I know everybody mispronounced her name. Nancherla. Aparna Nancherla. If you don't know her, look her up. She's done Conan a couple times. I think maybe she did a half hour. I'm not sure. She just put out a brand new album. It's called Just Putting It Out There. So it's on iTunes. If you don't know her, check out Aparna Nancherla.
If I can ruin one of her jokes, and it's a joke after my own heart, because it's got loneliness and pizza and a perfect two-line joke.
Yes.
And it's just – all pan pizzas are personal if you cry while you eat them. I was like, I heard that. I was like – That's a perfect joke. That's a perfect joke.
She's so good. She's so funny. Not necessarily a one-liner comic, but kind of in the vein of just gets right to the heart of the funny.
There's no fat on her set.
No fat on those jokes. So Aparna Nancherla, check her out. New album, Just Putting It Out There. It's on iTunes. So that's our new feature, Comic of the Week. Each week we'll plug a comic.
Something you're hyped about. Just as far as what I'm hyped about, the new Diarrhea Planet album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That sounds like a made-up band name.
Yeah.
I know it's not.
Listen, most of the things we talk about are made up on this podcast. Diarrhea Planet. Hard to wear a t-shirt by them, but God damn it. Turn to Gold, I think, is the album. And it's not even new. It came out like a month and a half ago, but I just got it. So it's great.
Cool.
Rock and roll, upbeat, rock and roll. It's a six-piece band.
Nice.
Drums, bass, and then four guitar players. And it's fucking awesome. Because the thing about like pop punk and everything, it always frowned on anybody doing anything with guitars. Like, ooh, be it like flashy guitar solos is in response to like, oh, nobody does flashy. And these guys just shred all over the place. And even if it's a dick off finger tap solo, it still needs to be in the song. It's not jerking off. It's like, oh, no, actually, You're just making a sound with an instrument that sounds real good and it goes with the rest of the song. It's not you trying to be flashy, look at me, because there's four guitar players. So it's not one of them standing out. It's great.
Cool.
I put it out there. That's my heads up.
That's awesome. That reminds me real quick. You and I both, we'll get together and go out to concerts, you know, every so often. Seen a bunch of shows together. And last week we were supposed to go to a show. I forgot who it was. We were supposed to go to a show, but you canceled because you texted me, quote, got a hold of some bad mayonnaise. So we didn't get to go see our concert that night.
Wait.
It was a couple weeks ago. You said, I can't go tonight. Got a hold of some bad mayonnaise. So...
Well,
just, you know, get your priorities in order.
Well, my priorities was using that mayonnaise for something. I think we've talked about mayonnaise every time. All right. I don't believe in expiration dates, all right?
On the days we want to go see a show, how about laying off the miracle?
I'm a holistic eater. And I believe that the spirit that the food is infused with will guide me to the right path. But, listen, people throw up after ayahuasca. doesn't mean that the journey wasn't rewarding. That's how I look at my dairy products, you know?
Oh, man.
You know what? I'm really happy with that joke. I hope people made it the 70 minutes into this podcast. And I hope I don't delete it accidentally like I did episode three.
Plug our stuff. What's our social media stuff?
God damn it, man. I forgot.
Every time you forget.
Well, if you want to search for it, the Boogie Monster is spelled B-O-O-G-I-E. It's the Boogie Monster. At Boogie Monster on Twitter, no vowels. I think. B-O-O-G.
That's okay.
To be honest, we've been stockpiling recordings, so we haven't gone live with anything yet. Mm-hmm. So whether this comes out first or fifth or wherever, we haven't been live yet, so we're not necessarily going to the social media, which the Facebook page, Boogie Monster, that's, you can find it, The Boogie Monster. It's listed under podcasts on Facebook. And if you have anything you want us to research or talk or, you know, make fun of, stories, let us know. And especially, I definitely want to get into local urban legends. That's what's interesting. Everybody knows these massive conspiracies that are going on. You know, we could talk about broad topics, but I would love very specific, very rich, specific urban legends. I know I have some from just the suburbs of Chicago that I'd like to get into. Mm-hmm. You're from outside of Atlanta in the South. No shortage there.
Yeah.
And if anybody listening has something they want to just, hey, take a look at this. It might take 5 minutes. It might be 45 minutes. Also, if it's chicken related.
Yeah. Chicken or
food.
Barbecue.
Food or urban legends.
Food and monsters.
And God help you if you found a haunted, delicious restaurant. We might have to book a tour.
Oh, boy.
That's the best
of both worlds.
Yeah, that's it.
Anything to plug?
I don't know.
Tour dates, whatever. I'll plug this real quick. I got some good news this week.
Yeah?
Don't have a specific date, but sometime in September, watch a Travel Channel. Yeah, you're going to see my new show. Got a TV show.
They've got a TV show. If you thought he's excited about chicken just through his voice, wait till you see his face.
They think it's going to be September 10th. I'm not sure, but I'll update it when we get the exact date. But Travel Channel, look for a Cheat Day Chowdown.
Cheat Day Chowdown?
Cheat Day Chowdown, myself and my great friend.
Alliteration. Dave Stone.
My great friend Lisa Best. She and I travel around and we just eat a bunch of food. And they made a TV show about it. So God bless America.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away. Can I say grilled cheesecake?
Yeah. Pilot episode, we eat a grilled cheesecake.
I know it's hard to believe after hearing Dave talk about all the organic farming he likes to partake of at the beginning of the episode.
But yeah, look out for Cheat Day Chowdown on
Cheat
Travel
Day
Channel.
Cheat Day Chowdown?
Yeah, this could be my way out of Lyft.
Oh, so. God. Everybody, please watch Cheat Day Chowdown. Although I'm going to miss your encounters with Australians that love loads of flavor.
Yeah, they constructed this hamburger. Oh, man. Well, that's it, buddy. We did it.
Yeah, good job. And there might be a theme song at the end of this, or it just ends.
Who knows? Boogie Monster Podcast, Kyle Kinane, Dave Stone, thank you so much, and bye-bye.
Adios.